Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
No sleep till...
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The first step for us, I was surprised to learn, not every city employee has a city email. And so that I've charged IT with getting every city employee an email so that they can... Be aware of anyone. It doesn't matter what position you're in. You should have a city email to get information and communicate with the organization.
Wait, what? Now, this is, I will admit in advance, this is a fairly low drama segment of Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. But new city manager Ed Spears, officially on the job now for a couple of weeks, says one of the things that we're working to remedy is that not all city employees have city emails. I mean, good that they're remedying it. Weird that that's been the case. I don't know how that's quite true. Also, talking about the upcoming vote on the local option sales tax, that's to increase the county sales tax from 0.5% to 1%. You sometimes hear this referred to as from a half penny to a penny. I don't like that particular nomenclature because I think that it kind of hides the substance of it. They mean the same thing, but penny sounds so innocuous and percent... I think sounds more accurate. Penny makes it seem like, it's just pennies. Just pennies on the dollar. Well, I mean, yeah, true, but a penny on the dollar is a percent, you know. So anyway, we wouldn't say it was, you know, local sales tax was 6 pennies. We say 6%. So, you know, just keep your language straight across all of these categories.
You know, there's going to be a ballot item in November to increase the local option sales tax from a half cent to a full cent. The government is not allowed to advocate for or against that particular issue, but we are allowed to educate. And what I would like to do is provide some educational materials through our different media sources, both our Facebook, our website, and through a mailer in our utility bills, simply talking about what the local option sales tax has done for the city of Milton.
So on the one hand, apparently as an entity that's politically, you know, elected, that might benefit from these taxes, you're not allowed to advocate for them or against them, which I thought was kind of interesting. I guess I agree with that. I mean, it just is. It's apparently a Florida state regulation. But at the same time, if you're going to inform, well, information is, it's very hard to separate information from persuasion because which information you present, right, changes whether it's going to be merely informative or whether it's persuasive. So, for example, informing the citizens that these 18 projects were made possible by the local option sales tax is kind of advocacy because you're saying these projects wouldn't have happened but for. And for somebody who is an opponent, right? In fact, that's kind of maybe the ultimate test is what does the opponent say? Does the opponent view it as persuasion or not? Calling it that, because what you might say is, well, what else didn't people have the ability to spend money on? You know, sort of the old Frederick Bastiat, the things that you see and the things that you do not see. Sorry if you don't know that reference. He's an old French libertarian who his basic idea was that in economics, a lot of people, you know, focus on the thing that you see that's obvious, it's in front of you. They don't focus on the thing that you do not see. For example, if a window gets broken and then somebody has to replace it in the shop, well, the glassmaker is employed, and that's good. some will say, and what he says is no, because that's $100 goes to the window maker, and that's not $100 that went to, say, for example, hiring a new employee or increasing your diversity of your stock or putting up a new sign to advertise for customers, right? The seen and the unseen in economics, and the same idea here is if you have, I'm just making up a number, $5 million and you spend it on these 18 projects, okay, I mean, true, but what would that $5 million have done in the hands of the electorate who didn't have that money to spend on the things that they wanted to spend it on, right? I mean, or the visitor. All I'm saying is it's really, really hard to come up with purely neutral information about something like a taxing measure that genuinely presents the full truth, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm not saying that, you know, Ed is going to mess this up. I'm not saying that the city's doing something inappropriate. I'm just saying a genuine opponent to the local option sales tax may not be satisfied that what you're presenting is merely information when you put it in with people's utility bills to explain to them what this tax has done in the past that benefited them. You follow? That's all I'm saying. And I'm not opposing the tax either. I'm just always want you to be clear about what's involved in something.
Just went through the local option sales tax budget for next year, and it proposes to pay at its current rate a new roof on the community center, new police vehicles, a portion of our fire training facility, new playing field light poles at Hindle Park, lift station improvements, manhole rehabilitation, streets and sidewalk improvements, and upgrade to our existing wastewater plant. Those funds are critical to the city. They're the majority of our capital expenditures outside of the grants.
See, that way of saying it, which I do not disagree with, but that way of saying it, that we did these projects or would do these projects, and if we don't have that money, we won't be able to do these projects. It's critical to our capital infrastructure, right? It's hard for me to imagine the difference between how somebody would say those things that's just presenting information compared to somebody who's advocating for it, right? You see what I'm getting at? And that's all. Maybe I'm being a little bit of a stickler on this point, but that's what I see.
It's about just over $760,000, $764,620 is the projection for FY25. And if that were doubled, we would be able to increase our maintenance and repair and then new items as well. So taking care of what we already have and then looking to the items that are on our wish list in the future.
Okay, so $750,000 as is, $1.5 million for the city. If it passes with the 1%, that's basically what he's saying, as opposed to the $5 million that I just, you know, pulled out of thin air. Also, Jay Conrad, events coordinator, who I may not have ever played on the show. It's possible. I don't remember if I ever have or not, but I do want to give him some credit for something that he said during the meeting.
My last item is an overhaul of the special event permit application form and the related fees. There are some items on our forms that are just inconsistent. At present, the special event permit application is several pages long and doesn't need to be because there's a lot of redundant questions and information requested on this form. The outside agency funding application is even longer and requires even more redundant information. My goal is to compress these forms to make it much easier for people to apply for events and to make it very clear what our actual requirements and guidelines are.
I just want to say good job, Jay, because in my experience, you know, my 53 years on this planet, how do I want to say this just the right way? Some of the most frustrating, and yes, absolutely, these are first world problems, but some of the most frustrating moments that I've ever experienced were filling out a form for the fourth time. Or filling out a form that is asking you things that you know you just don't need to put, you don't need to say. And for a government to deliberately go through its own forms and undo what prior layers of bureaucratic incompetence have allowed to accrete, to add up over time, is good, is really, really good. And I know this is not exactly what Jay was saying, but it made me think of this, and so I wanted to bring it up with you. Have you ever been to, let's say a doctor's office and filled out a form where you're like, this is the 15th time I have filled out this bleeping form. Y'all are supposed to keep records. How many copies of this do I need to give you? Okay, that's only the part one, though. The part two is, in that form, have you ever been asked to give, let's say, an email address? And the space allotted for the email address in the physical form with pen and paper that you are provided is, let's say, inadequate to the task. You know, you need 1.75 inches of space in order to write your email address, and they have given you a millimeter. And you're like writing it down on the line below, or phone numbers. And it's funny because what will happen, I guarantee this has to be a universal experience, that you have three times as much space as you need for your first name, three times as much space as you need for your last name, you know, checkbox M, F, perhaps other, you know, whatever. Depends how woke or not woke they are. But then there's going to be a handful of items where they're like, okay, this is a tenth of the space that you need. And we're just, I feel like I'm always in the middle of the Men in Black orientation test, where really what they're testing is, would you put up with this stuff? And so here's my, I know, John, am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. You know, 100%.
I do.
And, okay, so here's, I don't actually believe this, but every time I have to fill out a form, and it's not just the doctors or the dentists or the wherever, it seems like it's every single one. It's employment forms, you know, any of these things, all the same basic problem. It makes me want to make a law. The law would say something like this. Whoever is responsible for the forms must put their name, phone number, and home address on the top of the form and be required by law to fill out that entire form, I don't know, once a year, once every 6 months, you know, some reasonably frequent amount of time, just to make sure that you can contact the sadistic person and... Because when you fill it out, you notice, oh, God. But there's no institutional leverage to fix these things, right? If the box on the email is too small, are you ever going to say to the receptionist, ma'am, sir, this box is clearly too small. Can you fix this? They're going to look at you like you've got, you know, three horns coming out of your right side of your head. But how do you fix a problem like this? Because nobody ever fixes it. Anyway, that's my mini rant for 5:20 in the morning. I want a separate unit of the police targeted and tasked towards fixing all the forms in the country. And just think of all of the time and frustration we will solve if such a task force existed, which is not going to exist. And I'm not actually saying that because I'm a conservative. I believe in limited government. But I do believe that sometimes having limited government means that you get insane consequences like the forms that we all have to fill out. That apparently somebody who doesn't have any idea what human beings are like feel like. Or, again, they're just sadists. They like to know that you're suffering in this small little way that gives them joy. 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3. It's kind of raining all over the southern half of Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Most of the storm proper is really out in the Gulf off the coast. But south of I-10 in both counties right now is at least getting, you know, light to medium level rain. And we're just, you know, kind of keeping an eye on things as we go through the ordinary Monday morning in September. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide, you know, who to use as a real estate agent, which is a normal, natural thing to ask, right? Where do I go? Okay, well, maybe you've got a buddy. Maybe you've got a relative. Maybe somebody who goes to your church that's a real estate agent, you know. And simple questions you might ask is, you know, how many homes did you sell last year? That's a good basic question. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. Just be like, you know, hey, I'm interviewing for real estate agents. Tell me, you know, what you think makes you different from anybody else. Fine. Good. Include that person on your list. I recommend you also include on your list Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty and ask her those same questions. And I'll tell you, they sold 175 homes last year. But don't let that be your only guide. Decide whether you like the way they talk to you, whether you like the, you know, kinds of things that they tell you are going to be issues or not with your home, selling it or buying it. Ask them things like how the changing of the real estate commissions works, if it affects them or not. Ask them what's going on with interest rates and investors, and are they ready to get back in? Ask them what's going on with home insurance, because, man, if you have not shopped for house insurance in a while, I will tell you, it is a whole new crazy world out there. Things like, you know, how old is the water heater are questions that they're going to ask you. We just did an application for home insurance because our home insurance company, you know, they stopped carrying, you know, and so we had to find a new one. And it was a 2-hour process going through the house, taking photos of the faucets underneath the sinks and stuff like that. Like, it's insane what's going on right now in Florida. So ask, you know, those questions and get that information. Those are all things that might affect whether you should sell or buy and at what point. And that's affecting the people who might buy from you and from whom you might be buying. So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This is a test. This is the test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Bob, I got a bad feeling on this one, all right? I mean, I got a bad feeling. I don't think I'm going to make it out of here. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Everybody got to die sometime, Red.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I mean, you got to give it at least that much, right? As I mentioned, the News Radio ThreatNet radar and here says that, you know, pretty big storm just off of the coast, so not a good morning to go out on the boat. But, you know, on the shore, it's rainy and, you know, not as bad, but it's just if you're surprised by this, I know I was this morning, like, oh, here, let's look what's happening to us. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, the strike against Boeing continues today. Union officials say that may go on for a while. About 30,000 members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers in Seattle and Portland are on strike. They're looking for higher wages and better pension benefits. Talks are set to resume this week. Tito Jackson has died at the age of 70. Entertainment Tonight reported that Jackson passed away yesterday, with a longtime Jackson family friend and former family manager telling the publication that it's believed he suffered a heart attack while driving. And then the big news yesterday, the FBI now investigating a second assassination attempt on Donald Trump at his West Palm Beach Golf Club on Sunday. Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw says Secret Service agents engaged a man, Ryan Wesley Ruth, near the golf course. He was apparently kind of outside the perimeter of the golf course, had a AK style rifle. I believe it was maybe an SKS or something.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. It looks like that. But I mean, clearly it's, you know, the kind of rifle that certainly carries enough punch to travel 400 yards and kill a person.
Absolutely.
Which is what.
And it had some type of a scope on it.
And he's got a GoPro so he can film the whole thing.
Backpacks that were filmed with what they said it was maybe ceramic tiles in the backpacks that he put on there to be like a type of shield or something.
And what amazes me is the sort of the agents that were in advance of Trump. Trump was on hole 5 and they were up on hole 6, you know, which is what they do to travel one hole ahead. You know, sees a gun barrel pointing out of the bushes through a chain link fence, apparently. I've heard kind of both things, chain link fence and the bushes. And, you know, pulls out a service weapon, I guess, and shoots a couple of rounds in his direction. I guess it's a service weapon, a pistol and not a rifle. I don't know. Doesn't hit anything, but the guy runs away. That's the difference? That's the difference between whether President Trump is alive or not this morning, is because somebody saw a barrel out of a bush and shot near the guy and he ran away? Good Lord.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Pop. A former President Trump writing on social media. He's safe following a second attempt on his life at his golf club in West Palm Beach, Florida.
The AK-47 style rifle that was seen by the Secret Service pointing out through a chain link fence, as sheriffs also uncovered a GoPro camera and a backpack. The former president was playing the fifth hole when Secret Service agents spotted the suspect and opened fire. According to authorities, Ruth was 300 to 500 yards from Trump.
Fox's Brooke Zimmerman reporting. Fox's Manuel Rivera with reaction from the Vice President and President.
Vice President Harris saying we all must do our part to ensure that this incident does not lead to more violence. President Biden saying there is no place for political violence or for any violence ever in our country.
The suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth, was arrested in Martin County, north of the golf course. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. A cantonment man arrested after allegedly shooting his own brother during a family dispute this weekend. It happened Saturday afternoon near Quintet Road. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 41-year-old Horace Brown Jr. claimed he shot his brother to intervene in an altercation where he was hitting their mother. The victim was shot in the abdomen, taken to the hospital in critical condition. Brown Jr. is now charged with attempted homicide and violating a domestic violence injunction. He remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Well, last Friday's social media threat against several Escambia County schools resulted in many parents taking their kids home for the day. The school district and Escambia Sheriff's Office says they urged parents not to overreact as they didn't believe the threat was credible, but many parents were at schools signing their kids out just the same.
I don't trust people, and when I heard that, it definitely made me scared for my children.
That's parent Justin Pittman, who talked with Channel 3. The school district said elementary schools did have higher absences on Friday, but other schools were at near normal attendance levels. The sheriff's office announced Friday afternoon that an 11-year-old girl had been arrested and was facing a felony charge for making the threat on social media. Officials are urging parents to speak with their kids about the seriousness of making online threats. One man arrested after a stolen vehicle fleeing from the Florida Highway Patrol crashed into several other vehicles on Sunday morning. Troopers say the vehicle was headed south on Highway 29 at a high rate of speed when it crashed into three other vehicles at the stoplight. The driver and passenger in the suspect vehicle then fled on foot. The driver was later located and arrested. Drivers of two of the other vehicles were also transported to local hospitals. Marco Rubio says he believes China is trying to infiltrate every aspect of our life. He was on Fox News on Saturday. He called China the single biggest geopolitical challenge that America faces in the 21st century. Rubio says they've figured out the way to influence America is at the local level, at schools, businesses, government officials, and employees. He also says the U.S. needs to ramp up our awareness of what they're doing. A crew that made history in outer space, now back on Earth. Members of the Polaris Dawn mission splashed down yesterday in the Florida Keys. The crew members took part in the first ever commercial spacewalk. One of them played the first violin solo in space. They also conducted dozens of experiments. SpaceX is calling, says the mission had an action-packed schedule. And Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is not planning on retiring. NFL Network reporting that Tagovailoa says he will not be walking away despite suffering another concussion in last Thursday's loss to the Buffalo Bills. He started visiting with concussion specialists and plans to keep doing so until he gets cleared to play again. It is 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It is going to be a wet day today with about a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Tuesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Keeping a smaller rain chance on your Wednesday with just a 20% chance of rain and a high near 85. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 74 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton, mostly cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Reserve's highly anticipated two-day meeting, which gets underway tomorrow, is poised to take center stage this week. The central bank is widely expected to cut interest rates. The only remaining question appears to be by how much. The CME's FedWatch tool predicts a quarter point cut. Treasury yields were slightly lower this morning as investors look ahead to this week's Federal Reserve meeting. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was less than one basis point lower at 3.6401%. The best time to book travel for this holiday season is the month of October. However, experts warn that if you miss that window, a good day to bookmark is December 3rd or Travel Tuesday. That is according to Haley Berg, lead economist at travel site Hopper. Futures are mixed ahead of the Fed's meeting this week. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 297 and the S&P 500 up 30. That's your money now.
5:36, our next news at 6 a.m. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration on September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting Save Underdogs Rescue. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
county attorney requests the board retire to the BCC conference room for the attorney-client session.
If we're going to have another shade meeting, and it was never discussed in a shade meeting.
You weren't here. You don't know. You're ignorant. You're glib.
See,
come
that's
on.
The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
It looks like something out of Cuba or Russia or China. It's crazy.
Keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him.
Reconvening the shade meeting back in the chambers.
Run to the light, baby! Mommy is in the light!
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Did I capture the essence of it, John?
Yes, you did.
So, in case you're not aware, Escambia County does a thing called having shade meetings. They are allowed under state statute. You know, normally, meetings that are done by an elected board of officials who all have to vote on matters are done in the sunshine, done in the open with public notice and, you know, record keeping and minutes and all of that kind of stuff. And that's most everything. And the commissioners are not allowed to talk to each other except in those meetings. Okay, that's where, by the way, violations of sunshine laws are typically not exactly what you think. The violation is that they conducted a meeting without conducting an official meeting. You know, like if two commissioners get together and talk about a voting matter amongst themselves, that's having a meeting without going through public notice, public participation, and record keeping and minutes and all that kind of stuff. That's actually the violation. The violation isn't them talking to each other. The violation is them having a meeting. That's why it has to go both directions. One talks, the other one listens, and the other one talks, and the other one listens. That's a meeting, okay? Or email back and forth, or text back and forth. One direction doesn't qualify. There is one situation where they are allowed to have meetings that are not in the sunshine, and those are called shade meetings. A shade meeting is when the board is involved in some kind of a legal matter, where they're going to discuss something that involves, let's say, legal strategy or legal likelihood, and they don't want the other side to be aware of what they're doing or what their considerations are, because those private matters, legal advice kinds of things might favor the opponent, okay? So they do what's called a shade meeting. A shade meeting is also publicly noticed, and it is, you have a court reporter in there, you know, taking every single word down, and you don't have recordings, unfortunately. I asked. But eventually, when the matter is resolved, then those transcripts become public. And so we now have the transcripts connected to the shade meetings that were conducted regarding the Jeff Bergosh versus Alex Arduini and Jonathan Owens and PNJ/Gannett over the text messages. And what's the word I want here, John? Oh, they're juicy reading. Now, a lot of them are kind of boring. And this morning I was going to spend some time. I wish I could play them for you. I would play them for you, but I cannot because they don't exist as recordings. So instead we'll have to kind of perform them a little bit, or, you know, read them or whatever. Now, one thing worth knowing, the first shade meeting actually took place in May. And that was pretty early on in this process. And in May, everybody was in this meeting. Stephen Barry, Lumen May, Jeff Bergosh, Mike Kohler, Wes Moreno, he's a county administrator, Kristen Houle, Stephen West, and Kim Allison Rogers. These are the attorneys for the county. And one of the things about that particular one, I'm going to skip a lot of these because some of it's pretty boring. But Jeff Bergosh is trying to persuade the others that, you know, we need to go forward with these cases and we need to keep going forward with these cases and we need to prosecute these people and make the truth come out because he's a legal expert, as he repeatedly says and gives his legal analysis of what's going on. Commissioner Bergosh. Okay, so I think they're trying to intimidate us. 57-105 don't happen. That's a form that was filed by Dennis Green in particular, and I think it might have been filed by all three, but definitely filed by Dennis Green, Jonathan Owens' attorney. It's a cost-shifting filing that basically tells the county, we think that you have an unjustifiable lawsuit here. It's basically a frivolous lawsuit, and if you don't respond within 21 days, then you're going to be subject, if you don't drop this within 21 days, and we win, we're going to pursue legal fees, and you're going to have to pay us. Well, in the end, they didn't do it in 21 days. They've lost, and now they're getting legal fees pursued against them. So the 57-105 is like this particular form that you file in order to notify the entity that, hey, we're going to go after you for this if you don't drop this lawsuit. Well, the county didn't drop it, but that's what this meeting was about. And so Jeff Bergosh is saying 57-105s don't happen. They're very infrequent. We would have to be requesting something that's never been seen before in any court anywhere, but the opposite is true. Steve, that's Steve West, the county attorney, assistant attorney, has already demonstrated with multiple cases that he cited in his brief here in Florida and in the state of Washington that Replevin, that's the nature of the lawsuit to get back the text, is a realistic, verifiable way to recover sensitive data. So what's weird about this is Jeff is acting like the attorney instead of Steve West acting like the attorney or Allison Rogers or Kristen Hewell acting like the attorney. Now, a lot of boring stuff goes on. Here's the real story, Jeff says. They don't want discovery. They don't want me to be able to, and Steve or Steve and his staff, to be able to depose people and figure out why Mark Siders, that's Bart Siders, gave it to Pam Childers, why Pam Childers gave it to Mike Kohler, or Steve and Commissioner Kohler says, Mike Kohler never had it. So he's saying he thinks Mike Kohler's got a copy of these texts, and Commissioner Kohler's like, mm-mm. Commissioner Bergosh, okay, I'm glad. Never had it, Mike Kohler. But Bergosh, I'm glad you're saying that. When Jonathan Owens gave it to Doug Underhill, never established, who else Doug Underhill gave it to? I'm not really willing to believe that Alex Andrade doesn't, it's Alex Arduini. She doesn't know how to spell Arduini's name, and there's a lot of that in these things. But, you know, Alex, not Andrade, Alex Arduini, the way she spelled it sounds like Andrade. So if we dismiss it voluntarily, we'll never know. This is the only chance we have to know, and I would say this, even if we're unsuccessful, even if we lose, or even if it's dismissed on summary judgment, that does not mean fees will be awarded. Again, this is Commissioner Bergosh dispensing the legal advice. Commissioner Kohler, what he's saying is he wants to know how all this happened, and until they get into the lawsuit and are able to do discovery on, you know, deposing witnesses and asking questions, they'll never know exactly what happened. That's why he wants to go forward with the lawsuit, so they can find out what was done, I suppose he would argue, in order to find out who's got the copies that they want back. Later on, Commissioner Kohler, I'm not going to exhaust this very long. There's things in this, Jeff, that you've left out. I'm not a lawyer. I don't think Jeff is a lawyer. Commissioner Bergosh, nope. Commissioner Kohler, what's your recommendation? And I know what your recommendation is, and that's what I care about. I've been an executive for 15 years. I take people's recommendations on what we should do. What's your recommendation? So he's doing the right thing. He's asking the lawyers, what do you think we should do here? Steve West, what I explained to Commissioner Bergosh is that I would not have filed this lawsuit if I thought it was frivolous. So he's defending the lawsuit. That said, the judge may disagree with me. He obviously has on preliminary hearing, and I think when you do the risk, they asked him to dismiss it in preliminary, and unless there's evidence that it's unjustified at that point, you know, the judge did not rule against them on that, or did not rule for them on that one. He obviously has on the preliminary hearing, and I think when you do the risk-benefit analysis, I think the risks of going forward does not justify, or the risks and the benefit don't justify going forward with the lawsuit. So Steve West is saying, stop. Because they've already lost sort of a preliminary round. We should stop. It doesn't look like we're likely to win. There's no way we can put those text messages back in Commissioner Bergosh's phone. That's true. And there are almost certainly other copies of it out there circulating, but we can't get a hold of them. So there's a certain futility in proceeding. Again, this is Steve West, the attorney. Even if we win, we're not going to get those text messages back from everybody who has them. And if you lose, there's a risk of sanctions. Very prudent legal advice. Commissioner Bergosh, do you really think there's a risk of 57-105 sanctions in this case? Do you really believe that? Mr. West, I do. I do believe that there is a potential that the court could find that this was frivolous based on what the court ordered coming out of that preliminary hearing. Now, Steve's doing what an attorney should do. He doesn't agree with the judge, but he is observing what the judge has said and saying, based on what the judge has said, there's a real risk here that we could all be on the hook, or that the county could be on the hook for this stuff. Commissioner Barry, all right, Steve, is that an evaluation of the merit of the case or an evaluation of the momentum that we have currently in the judicial system, which seems to be very poor? We keep losing and losing. That's Commissioner May, Lumen May. We haven't won anything. I wish I was better at voices. I'm not going to try to do the voices, but I'm tempted. Commissioner Barry, that's my only issue, Jeff. I don't understand how the first decisions have come out have is, just reading it, I don't understand that. I don't understand how other things have happened the way they've happened. It's terrible to have to consider that, you know, in a shade meeting about how you're going to pursue litigation. But I mean, it has to be some type of consideration. We're just, Commissioner Kohler, we don't have to pay any of their attorney fees if we agree to this, right? Mr. West, if your choices are to either continue with the lawsuit and disregard the risk of the 57-105 sanctions, or dismiss the lawsuit, and in that case you avoid the potential for any sanctions, because that's the point of the paper, is to say, cut this out, and then we won't be able to sue you. If you don't cut this out, then if you lose, we can sue you. Commissioner Kohler. So all we have, Commissioner Bergosh. But what about legal fees? What about their legal fees, Mr. West? That's the sanctions, legal fees and costs. Kristen Huell, right. Commissioner May. So we have to pay their legal fees? Durr. Yes, but I'm glad he asks if he doesn't know. Commissioner Kohler, if we get it out today, Mr. Steve West, if you dismiss, they cannot seek legal fees or costs. And then there's some just back and forth trying to understand all of this. And eventually you get down to where Commissioner Bergosh says, well, Lumen, I'm going to, you know, plead with you on this. Because the other commissioners are reluctant to go forward. The attorneys are reluctant to go forward. But Jeff just knows. Jeff just knows. He's got the legal mind to analyze this. Commissioner Bergosh, well, Lumen, I'm going to, you know, plead with you on this. What I said before we got in this room was, before you got in this room, was that this is our last best chance to get discovery done. These 57-105 sanctions are very rarely awarded, rarely. And I have done some significant research on it. They're trying to intimidate us because they know they have momentum, as Steve mentioned. They're trying to intimidate us so we can't do discovery. They're trying to intimidate us to drop the lawsuit voluntarily when they're holding 1,600 of my pictures, including my children's passports, bank accounts, credit cards, medical information on multiple employees, multiple information on dependents, medical information on dependents in this plan. Our only chance at finding out who has all this, and I agree with you, you're right, they will never put it back in this phone. That's an interesting admission, by the way, because the goal is to get it all back, right? And he's saying, I agree with you, we'll never get it all back. But if a judge rules that you're to return the personal information, identification information, and those defendants don't, they know they risk a criminal sanction. This is the only way. And listen, Commissioner May, why wasn't criminal sanction put on them? I mean, I agree with you. I mean, so what happened? I mean, when it was presented, I mean, Commissioner Kohler, we lost. Exactly. Steve West. No question that this is a criminal action and it should be prosecuted criminally. Unfortunately, the FBI and the state attorney's office have not done anything. By the way, the note from the state attorney's office explaining why it wasn't criminal. A, they couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt that they could win a case in court. And also, there has to be intent. Just possessing the information, even though Jeff disagrees with his, what law degree does he have? Anyway, with his assessment that just having it is enough, the state attorney's office says, no, there has to be criminal intent. There's been no evidence of criminal intent by anybody who does have it. That was one of the key things that was written in Greg Marcille's letter. Anyway, back to the dialogue. No question, Mr. West, criminal case. Unfortunately, the FBI and the state attorney's office have not done anything yet. Commissioner May, because they ain't done anything, they're not going to do anything. How long have they had it? Mr. West, almost a year now. Commissioner May, so what are they saying? Mr. West, they're very hold their cards close to the chest, talking about the state attorney's office. They don't let anybody know what they're going to do. Commissioner May, I mean, this is Jeff. I agree with you. Everywhere you are, dude. This is frustrating to me, you know? I want to get a legal. We've lost every lawsuit, you know? Someone is not... I mean, everybody told me on, in this, I guess, on the public record, every other case we're winning, we're good. Let me tell you what we came back with. A loss. As in, they keep being told they're winning, and then they keep losing. Commissioner Bergosh, a loss. Commissioner May, a zero. And you know what? And I believe we were just as right as we could be. I'm not even mentioning every case. There's four of them, and here we are again, you know? They're trying to face up. I mean, Commissioner Bergosh, can I read you one thing, though, Lumen? Commissioner May, yeah, yeah. I want you to read me that, and then I want legal opinion. I mean, I'm sick of I wasn't there. All right, so I want their opinion of what, because I'm tired of getting beat up and losing, you know, to no fault of mine. You know, trust me, I spend thousands of my own money on frivolous stuff across the street. Frivolous, you know. So he's frustrated because of all the cases they're losing, all the advice they're getting to keep going, and then they don't go. And then in this case, they're being told to stop, and he's wanting them to keep going. Unfortunately, we have to pause there for time. And, John, you've read this.
Yeah, I have.
In the grand scheme of from a 1 to 10 interesting scale, what number are we at so far?
Oh, we're at 10, buddy.
No. Like, so far, we're like at a 2.
Well, no. For me, it's like enlightening.
But when it's going to be a 10 at the end, this is like the level 2. Gotcha. This is all just preamble. This is all just preface. And trust me. It is a lot more interesting. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in tomorrow at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake, a terrible flood, locust. It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
That was not audio from the Shade Meetings, by the way. That was Jim. You might imagine that was. David Wayne is in the newsroom. David, were you listening to my not so dramatic reading of the Shade Meeting transcripts?
Yes, I
were you
was
able
looking...
to follow along. I didn't know how to present this since I don't have the audio to play.
Right.
And I thought, well, I can just read it and then do some commentary, and that's what I decided on. I always feel like I'm going too fast. Did it make sense to you?
Absolutely. Right, fair enough. Well, and let me tell you this. I read the Shade transcripts over the weekend, and my first thought was, I can't wait to hear what Andrew has to say on Monday.
I have my comments to explain, but a lot of it is I just want just read it. It's amazing.
Speaks for itself.
It really does.
President Biden and Vice President Harris say they are relieved to know that former President Trump is okay after the shooting at his Palm Beach Golf Club over the weekend. FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried appealing his conviction. He was convicted on multiple fraud and conspiracy charges after it was discovered that he illegally used client and lender's money to fund his extravagant lifestyle. On Friday, Bankman-Fried's lawyers filed an appeal saying he was the victim of a rush to judgment by a biased jury. And the Coast Guard holding some public hearings on last year's implosion of the OceanGate Titan submersible. Of course, 5 people on board were killed when it imploded on its way to visit the Titanic. Those hearings start today with testimony from a former director of engineering at OceanGate.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 557 here on News Radio 92.3. Some storms out in the Gulf this morning. If you're on Perdido Key or south of the city of Pensacola or in the south of the city of Pensacola, or if you're in, you know, like Pensacola Beach or Gulf Breeze, it's pretty rough right now. Most everybody else getting a little bit of light rain anywhere south of I-10, but the big storms are actually over the water this morning. So, you know, it's going basically due east. So it's just going to kind of swipe past us for the most part this morning. Hey, if you are thinking about getting a different career or thinking about picking up some, you know, personal enrichment, college education courses, you know, you want to take a history class, a literature class, a poetry class, a physics class, an astronomy class. Like Pensacola State offers all that stuff. They have all kinds of things that you can learn from. And if you are a high school student and you'd like to go to college with additional credit under your belt already, that's called dual enrollment. For free, if you're a high school student, you can get college courses at PSC, and they pay for books too. My students, you know, but we homeschooled, right? So my 2 oldest already did this, and they're at university with a year and a half of college credit under their belt. My youngest is just starting now. So this has been a great program for my family. Like, they get, you know, teacher-oriented classes, because sometimes you get, you know, researchers who also teach at university. And sometimes you get great teachers, too, but you understand the difference. You know, it's very customer-oriented. It's very amenable, helpful, just... It's a junior college or a state college or a community college, and there it's a different flavor, right? So it's been great for my family. I have loved Pensacola State. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals. at PensacolaState.edu. And I really cannot talk strongly enough about the value of dual enrollment, man. You know, it's amazing. We're going to have some tickets to give away throughout the course of the morning. We got Oak Ridge Boy tickets and FSU tickets for anybody who wants to watch them play.
Listen on air.